In a series of sermons this month called Parallel Parables, the title today is Finding Your Place in the Kingdom. Now here is my story. There was this fellow named Fred. Fred was a good, solid guy. If you met him, you would like him. His life had been very steady. He was now married, had a nice family, was living in the same general neighborhood in which he'd grown up. He had a job, good job, working for a fairly large company. He was a steady, faithful member in a rather large Christian congregation. Sounds good, right? But the truth is, Fred was a little dissatisfied. The reason for his dissatisfaction was this. As a boy, he had always dreamed, you know, that he'd be somebody. As it turned out, he was just Fred. And his life was regular and stable and all that, but somehow, deep inside, Fred had a yearning for something more. He thought that somehow when he grew up, he'd be more prominent, perhaps even a little famous, that his accomplishments would be more obvious. And he was a bit disappointed with his life. And he, even at moments, stopped liking just being Fred. Now, Fred had a boyhood friend, had been a classmate in school, a fellow named Joe. Joe had grown up, and in contrast with Fred's sort of low-key life, Joe had a more flashy life. He grew up, he was early on quite financially successful in his life. He became rather prominent in the community in which they both lived. He, of course, when he got a little more affluent, decided to move away from the old neighborhood into one that was a little more upscale. And he never lost touch with Fred, but their lives were obviously going in somewhat different directions. And he was seen as something of a civic leader, and Fred would see references to Joe in the daily newspaper from time to time. And Fred grew to resent Joe. After all, in Fred's mind, Joe was pretty much all he had hoped to be and wasn't, or so he thought. And he was even a little angry at Joe for being such a success when his life was so ordinary. Well, they had, as I said, stayed in touch with each other, and Joe contacted Fred on one occasion, as he did from time to time, not all the time, but from time to time, Joe would get a hold of Fred and arrange to meet with him and have lunch or have coffee, or on this occasion, Joe called up Fred and said, are you free Wednesday night? I have a meeting, but I'd like to be really happy. Maybe we could go out for a beer. And Fred was, feeling a little like, oh, okay. Couldn't say no, of course. And so he arranged to meet with Joe as Joe had proposed. And, you know, everything that happened just kind of reinforced how Fred felt. Went to this place and sat down, and it wasn't long before people were coming by and acknowledging Joe and greeting him. It seemed like he knew everyone in the place. And Fred's the nobody, and feeling it. Anyway, the upshot was that Joe said to Fred, I've got something special in mind for you. I want you and your wife to set aside an evening, and he named the date and time. I want you to be my guests at a very, very special civic function. And there was Fred. Didn't really want to do this. But he was also curious as to what Joe had in mind for him. And you know, there was that nagging thought in the back of his mind, maybe Joe's got something for me here. Maybe this is a turning point. But anyway, he said that he would talk to his wife and that they would be there. And so the time went by, and Fred noticed that this event that he had been invited to was being sort of prominently noted in the news as a coming thing. And he began to feel a little better, you know, that here he was, a special guest of Joe's at this event. Anyway, the night came and Fred and his wife arrived, and now at this point, Fred's feeling a little up. So when he arrives at the banquet hall and there are people directing guests to their tables, Fred arrives and says, I'm a guest of Joe's, and I guess I'll be seated next to him. And the individual said, well, Joe's seated at the head table, and I don't recall seeing your name there, but let me look. And he looked down through the list, and he said, oh no, Fred, you and your wife are seated over here at this table way over here, which was quite a distance from the head table, on the edge of an open space in the middle of the hall, but not nearly the prominent place that Fred had assumed he would be taking at this event. And anyway, that was where they were placed. So they went and sat down. Fred's wife seemed to be enjoying the evening, but Fred became rather grumpy, was drawn. He was unhappy. Here he was, a special guest of Joe, and he's relegated to this, what he thought of as a third-class seat in the place. Well, they ate. There were several other couples at the table with Fred and his wife, but Fred probably wasn't very much of a conversationalist or good company. Anyway, at the end of the meal, the official things of the evening began, and in fact, the mayor was there. And the mayor gave a speech about the really important people in the community. And this is just grating on Fred, because he thought to himself, Joe has invited me here to listen to the world sing his praises. Anyway, when the mayor had finished his introductory comments, he called Joe to the microphone. As a person in the community who was going to start this off. And Joe gets to the microphone and talks about the importance of certain people in the community and how this is to be, he hopes, the first of an annual recognition of important people in the community. And all the while, Fred is just feeling worse and worse, and even angrier and angrier. And then when Joe had finished his remarks, he said, well, I'm here to present an award. This is an award that's just being established. It's called, for the moment at least, Friends for Life. And he began to talk about how, when he was growing up as a boy in school, there was someone who had been a great friend to him, and how he appreciated that, and how many times during the course of his life that had been important to him, and how that was something that in his mind needed to be somehow celebrated. And he finally, of course, names Fred. And Fred then does have his almost, at this point, startled moment in the limelight. There are people taking pictures, there are, you know, certificates presented and greetings all around. And Fred isn't quite sure what to make at this point, because he'd gotten himself into such a bad mood that it was hard to shift out of it. And yet, he realized that he was being honored. Even though Joe had said that, you know, Fred has lived just a quiet life, but he's been a wonderful friend that I knew I could count on always. And then, of course, Fred learned that the other couples with him, with he and his wife at the table, were all people who were being honored in a similar fashion by other people who were present. Fred was pleased, but went home with some things to sort out. Now let me read you another story. This one from Luke chapter 14, a page out of Jesus' life. When Jesus noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then, in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. See some parallels? Jesus told stories, you know. Most of the parables weren't really about, on the surface, spiritual things. They were about ordinary activities, ordinary events in human life and activity. But he always told them in a way which invited people to see the spiritual implications of what he was saying. And in the parable in Luke 14, Jesus is on one level addressing the circumstances of those people who are filled with self-importance. But maybe he was also talking to people who had simply unfulfilled dreams and expectations like Fred did. Somehow wanting to be more than they were. On a spiritual level, you know, this reminds us not of what to do when we go to a wedding feast, but it reminds us of the importance on focusing on what we have and not on what we don't have. There was Fred, a good, solid life. And yet, because of this sort of little dream that he'd had about his life, he wasn't satisfied. It was as though something was really missing. And this is, you know, a fairly common human condition that people quietly are disappointed with their lives. I'm sure Fred didn't go around and talk about it, but deep down, he felt it. And this is not just a social thing, of course. This happens in the church as well. You know? The pastors who feel that they deserve bigger and more prominent churches to pastor than they have. Church leaders who are a little inflated with themselves because they're leaders. And congregations too, who sort of elevate themselves because they're not content to be for God who they are, where they are. And the implication in this, of course, is not to suggest that we should just stand still, but that we should cultivate the gifts that God has given and follow where they lead us. But the reality is they may not lead us to anything that in the eyes of the world is seen as being prominent or noteworthy. But living faithfully as God's people is our calling. Wherever we are, wherever God takes us, and wherever that leads. We live in an age of celebrities, you know. The news is full of them. Sadly, their lives are sometimes much less lustrous than their press, but I'll leave that part aside. In the spirit of these times, it's very easy for people to look enviously at those people who get lots of public press and note and acclaim. It's very easy for spiritual people to somehow feel that God has let them down, that they deserve a little more of this at least, and they aren't getting it. And that's a reality that a celebrity culture is a little bit of a dangerous disease. It's contagious. There's a line from Scripture. It goes like this. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Being able to thrive on our relationship with God, being able to be elated by it and fulfilled by it, simply because it's the relationship that's most important. What could be a greater ambition than to hear the declaration, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? And you know, when you put that together with the fact that we readily confess that our spiritual condition is based on grace. It's not something we've achieved, but something that God has given. And if God has bestowed it on us, then we exult in it. And we ask the Lord's guidance as to where that should take us and what we should do. And yet at the same time, willing to be content with where it leads. Let me suggest there is one thing that the Christian community can do in response to this need that Jesus identified in his parable and I had in the back of my mind in my story. And that is this, that sometimes we fail badly in recognizing and expressing appreciation for what others are doing and have done. Sometimes we take one another for granted. Sometimes we just assume that, you know, people in Christian community will do what they ought to do. And not really make an effort to express appreciation. Because the life and vitality of the Christian community doesn't really rest on the more prominent members of that Christian community. It rests on ordinary folk who know the Lord's love and who love the Lord. And find joy in being His. If one was to look at the inner workings of the history of Christian life and service. If one could do that, one would surely discover that most of the great things that God has accomplished in Christian community have not been through people of fame or prominence, but just ordinary folk. People who, if named, you wouldn't recognize. I'll tell you how quietly they've lived. People who, if you Googled them, wouldn't even come up with much. Because their lives have been quiet and faithful. And oh yes, in the midst of God's people, there are some who for God's purposes have achieved perhaps greater prominence. Those individuals have their own set of perils. But we must see past the externals of things and rejoice in living quiet lives of faith for the glory of God. So Fred went home and thought about that, and I'm not quite sure what he did with the events of that evening. Whether he learned from Joe's presentation and acknowledgement of his place in his life, whether he learned from that or not, I'm not sure. I don't know how the story ends. But it's a story, as is Jesus' parable, one that invites us to think deeply about grace and faith. Friends, this is good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.